Longer being recorded. This conference will now be recorded.
Great. I want to welcome everybody to the Florida Building Commission's Hurricane Research Advisory Committee meeting of December 2nd, 2022. First order of business is just to remind everybody about our virtual slash teleconference participation. Be aware of background noises. Mute your device when you're not speaking. If you're joined by phone, please don't put yourself on hold. Please wait until invited to speak, and please state your name each time you speak. And committee members, please state your name when making and seconding motions. I'm going to go ahead and do a roll call now to ensure that we have a quorum. Chairman Schock?
Here.
Sergio Escunce?
Present.
Joe Belcher?
Here.
Commissioner Compton? I know David. I saw David's here. He's muted. David, you're muted, so you might want to unmute yourself. I'm marking you here, though, because I know that you're here. Ann Cope? All right. Commissioner Gross?
I'm here.
Okay. Good. Gotcha. Mark Michelson?
Here. Good morning.
Good morning. Craig Perino?
Here.
Okay. John Plissage? Okay. Mike Savage?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Very good. Angela Shadles? All right. Commissioner Schiffer, Brad?
I'm on.
Okay. Jeff Schnellman? Vince Stayhouse? Vince, are you on? All right. And Commissioner Swope, Brian?
Here.
All right. Somebody just joined by phone. I think that's caller number three is Brian Swope.
I'm going to check one more.
Yes?
It's Dave Compton. I'm here. I couldn't hear before. I'm sorry.
Thanks, Dave. I marked you present. I saw that you were here.
Thank you.
Okay. I'm going to just double check those who did not respond, and that would be Ann Cope, John Plissage, Angela Shaver, Jeff Schnellman, and Vince Sejas. All right, well, we have 10 of 15, so we do have a quorum, and we are...
Hey, Jeff, this is Eric Stafford. Ann wants me to cover for her today.
Okay, so, right, you're designated. So Eric Stafford for Ann, so that brings us to 11.
Uh-huh.
Of 15, therefore, we have a quorum. Okay, so from our GDPR staff, we have Tom Campbell, Mo Madani, Justin Bogle, Jim Hammers, and Sabrina Evans. I believe that's our staff today on the call. All right, so the next order of business is to approve today's agenda, which is to approve the meeting minutes from the last meeting, and then to review and accept the draft report for Task 1 of inspection reporting and building conditions in South Florida, Phase 2, and then to see if we have any public comment or member comment or staff comment. Unless there's any questions, is there a motion to approve the agenda as it was posted?
Belcher, move approval.
Go ahead, Jim.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That motion carries. Thank you, Jeff.
Sure. All right. You received electronically a link to the BCIS to this agenda with our last meeting minutes, which were June 27, 2022. Are there any revisions or corrections to that? If not, we ask for a motion to accept as the member. Joe Belcher,
move accept.
Need a second.
Yeah. Okay, the motion was made and seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion carries. Thank you, Jeff.
Who was the second?
Joe Belcher was the second, I think.
Well, Joe made the motion. I thought, Jim, that you had said it second, but I may have misunderstood. All right. Well, did we get a second then? Can we have a second?
I have a job.
All right. We have a motion and a second from Belcher and Savage, respectively. Go ahead and just call it again for technical reasons.
Okay. No further discussion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Joe.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, this is our one and only substantive issue for the agenda, which is to review and then accept the final draft report for the assessment and inspection reporting and building conditions in South Florida, which is Miami-Dade and Broward counties, phase two, task one. And we have Jennifer Bridge from the Engineering School of Sustainable Infrastructure and Environment at UF. Mo, you want to say anything before I turn to Jennifer?
No, you're good. Thank you, Jeff.
Okay. Jennifer, do you have a presentation that you wanted to do you want to share the screen, or are you just going to kind of walk through the report?
I'll share the screen if that's okay. I just have a few slides.
Sure. Jennifer, you let Jennifer please share.
Okay. All right. So I think you've hopefully seen the task one report and you're familiar with our project. We had a phase one where we were looking at inspection reports and we reported on that. For our phase two project, we have four tasks, but the focus of today's discussion is our report on task one. Task one, we were tasked with getting feedback from engineers on Senate Bill 4D. So this is kind of as a supplement to or in concert with the existing building inspection work group. We were kind of supplementing some of that discussion by interviewing a number of experienced inspectors and engineers, really just to get their feedback on the legislation as it's written, again, to help provide information that makes beneficial for SBC's response to the legislation. So I'm just going to very quickly go over some of the results. And we prepared a series of questions. I conducted all the interviews myself via phone. They lasted anywhere from, 20 minutes, some were over an hour. They had a lot to say. And I just kind of, I haven't done like a statistical assessment, but just kind of summarized and aggregate the responses from the engineers. So I'm going to go over this fairly quickly again because you've seen the report. But just to give some background on the engineers we spoke to, I got the majority of their names and contact information from our phase one report. We had pulled, over 300 inspection reports, and we kind of found some of those that where their names showed up often. So we, had a good sense of their experience level. Everyone had 15 to over 30 years of experience. The group had anywhere from 15 to over 30 years experience. All were engineers. I did reach out to architects. I just didn't get any responses from those that I reached out to. Some in the interviewee group are SIs. Most were very familiar with the legislation. Some even already starting the process to conduct reserve study inspections. And then just kind of going through some of the responses here, the first thing that I asked about was, how they felt the definition of non-exempt buildings were for the legislation. The fact that it's focused on, condominiums and co-ops, many felt that other building uses should be considered. In terms of the number of stories, some indicated that even lower rise than indicated in the legislation could still have safety issues, and that perhaps milestone inspections should not be limited to three stories plus. We, in the legislation, as you recall, there was this kind of demarcation that buildings, within 3 miles of the coast would have their inspections start at 25 years of age. Inland, it would be 30 years of age, and then there's a 10-year interval thereafter. So a lot of the folks that we spoke to questioned where the 3 miles came from, but most recognized that, you've got to draw a line somewhere, so that's probably just as reasonable as any other. Although a few did indicate that, it's really the structures that are directly on the coast where you see significant deterioration, obviously due to salt exposure, and, that may be something to look at rather than pulling it all the way 3 miles in. In terms of the age of initiation, most felt that the ages were reasonable. A few suggested that, starting the process earlier can promote maintenance that can ultimately improve the safety of the structures. Most felt that the 10-year interval is reasonable. Now, moving on to, you know, there's this definition of substantial structural deterioration that when it is identified is kind of the determining factor when going from a phase one inspection to a phase two inspection. So again, I'm not summarizing the legislation here, but just to give a little bit of background there. So, you know, I asked, you know, what they thought of the definition of substantial structural deterioration, you know, how they felt about that definition as it's written in the legislation. And the vast majority of those that we spoke to liked that that it was broad enough that it leaves it up to the discretion of the engineers to make the judgment call on whether that, you know, that has been reached. A few that I spoke to, one in particular, felt that deterioration may not be the right word, that having deterioration is not the same as compromised safety just because of the factors of safety that are built into our building codes, and that there may be a better word like a deficiency or something like that. In terms of the description of a phase one inspection, again, the broad definition was reasonable to most, leaving it up to the engineering discretion. A few mentioned that it might be beneficial to have specific language associated with inspection of windows, waterproofing, just to provide a little bit more guidance and consistency at this phase. The trigger for phase two, again, is, you know, signs of substantial structural deterioration, which in the definition kind of says this is not for superficial issues, but many felt that some of these, quote, superficial issues like falling really should be a trigger for phase two. Even though they're superficial, they can certainly lead to structural issues down the line. The description of phase two is generally acceptable. Some did request more detailed language. And really, you know, their request for detailed language, more specificity in the language, was driven in part by the ability for the inspector to convince the condo boards that it is a necessity. We discussed methods for non-destructive evaluation in phase two. There was some disagreement on the necessity of it, but many listed, you know, common techniques such as GPR and core samples as valuable tools in a more in-depth inspection. Many suggested that the challenges for a phase two inspection are primarily associated with just gaining access to the parts of the building that they need to access to be able to do a thorough inspection. In terms of public posting of the report and summary to the unit owners, of course, most felt that transparency is a good thing. In terms of enforcing the legislation, most feel that the building departments you know, really need to help be proactive in enforcement and be stringent with follow-up. In terms of the timelines for repairs, you know, they need to be started within 1 year of a phase two. And some suggested that that's a little bit too long. And while extensions can always be requested, having a little tighter timeline on that might be beneficial. We asked about inspector qualifications. All of the engineers that we spoke with felt that architects should not be conducting these inspections, especially for phase two where repairing and shoring design may be involved. Many suggested minimum experience for engineers. So, you know, just because you do design or other engineering work doesn't necessarily qualify you for these milestone inspections. So some suggested perhaps, you know, a minimum years of experience doing this specific type of work or a certain number of buildings that have been inspected to qualify an inspector for this. Some other comments that came through, one that came through pretty consistently was a request for consistent inspection forms in all jurisdictions. They're really concerned about having to comply with, you know, many, many different inspection forms in different jurisdictions, making it really difficult to be able to carry this out. There was some question about whether this milestone inspection legislation is really a maintenance legislation as opposed to really looking at the structural capacity. So, you know, there's an in-depth structural analysis that's really required to assess the capacity and ultimately the structural safety. And for some, they felt that this legislation and the language as it's written is really just geared towards the promotion of maintenance, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. It was just a question that kind of came up through some of the discussion. Another thing that came up was some of the respondents, especially those that are already kind of dipping their toe into the reserve study inspections, there was some confusion as to how the reserve study inspections relate to the milestone inspections. You know, can they be done by the same engineer at the same time, or do they have to be separate inspections? And what if, you know, one happens in 1 year and then there's a milestone inspection required for the next year? You know, just they wanted to make sure that it was kind of clear how those relate to one another and it doesn't require kind of additional cost burden for the building owners to be doing both, especially if they happen close in time. A couple other things I want to mention, you know, generally the feedback was positive that this legislation is a good thing and that as it's written, it's a starting point. So many felt that, you know, there's going to be some kinks that have to be worked out. And that's just, you know, how these things go when you kind of start something new on this scale. But I do want to reiterate that the feedback was fairly positive. But another consistent feedback that we received was just that who's going to do all of this? You know, there's just maybe a lack of qualified inspectors in the state, and it's going to be a real challenge to meet the needs of this within the timeline proposed within the legislation, you know, to have all this kind of up and running in a matter of a few years. Maybe phasing things in would be something worth consideration. So that ends my summary, and I'm happy to take any questions on that.
Great. Thanks, Jennifer. Does any committee member have any questions regarding the draft final report?
Sergio?
Go ahead, Serge.
Good morning, Jennifer. And like your previous report, these reports are very interesting and very useful. I do want to ask, of the final 15 respondents to your survey, were all these from basically South Florida that had previously done the building recertifications in Dade and Broward?
Yes. One of them was based not in South Florida, but had done some work in South Florida doing the 40-year inspection. So the short answer is yes.
Okay, excellent. And then I want to go to page 3 of your report, section 4.2, non-exempt buildings. The first sentence states the legislation requires milestone inspection for all condominiums and cooperatives that are 3 or more stories, comma, including dwellings with 3 or more families. And I just want to go back to the actual statute on line 240, where it says this subsection does not apply to single-family, two-family, or three-family dwellings with 3 or fewer habitable stories. So I just wanted to kind of point that out to maybe your report being consistent with the statute on that.
Thank you very much. I'll be sure to update that. Thank you for catching that.
Absolutely. And then just further down in that same section, the first bullet point under the interviewees where building use, most say that the requirement for inspection should not be limited to condos and co-ops, buildings of any use, comma, especially dwellings. In your notes, was there any reference to what they meant about dwellings? Is it single-family dwellings or multi-family dwellings? You know, buildings like apartment buildings that are not necessarily condos or co-ops.
Yeah, I think that came from the fact that many felt that apartment buildings, you know, should also be included, specifically because of the amount of time that residents are spending in there, as opposed to maybe an office building or something that doesn't quite have as much, you know, kind of time inhabiting the building. So that's where it came from, is that several called out apartment buildings. You know, why isn't that included? And again, you know, I think the other kind of, I'll try to articulate this well, is that encouraging building owners to do proactive maintenance is maybe more challenging, say, for the owners of an apartment building as opposed to, like, office buildings or educational facilities that may have more proactive maintenance. So just based on their observations, they felt that there was an opportunity to encourage owners of apartment buildings to keep up with their maintenance.
Yeah, definitely agree on that. You know, as I'm sure you know, in both Miami-Dade and Broward, multifamily apartment buildings are covered. However, single-family and duplex uses are exempt from recertification. So just kind of wanted to make sure how the word dwellings was being qualified.
Okay, maybe I can look at a way to clarify that. Thank you.
Okay, awesome. I think that the word deterioration, when it came to one of the respondents wanting to maybe switch out for deficiency instead of deterioration, I think deterioration is still a proper term, because what we're doing is we're inspecting these aging buildings and how they are deteriorating in essence, which could then lead to structural deficiencies. So I think that the word deterioration as used in the definition there is appropriate. Just my own thought.
Great. Thanks, Serge.
I'm good. Thank you.
Any other committee members have any questions or comments? Okay. Is there anybody from the public who wishes to comment? All right, well, then we would look for a motion to accept the final draft report for Task 1, Assessment of Inspection Reporting and Building Conditions in South Florida, Miami-Dade and Broward Counties, Phase 2. Is there such a motion, please?
Motion to accept as proposed.
Second, Oscar Say.
All right, we have Vince Cejas making the motion, and Sergio Escumse is making the second. Note that we now have 12 members. Jim, you want to go ahead and call the question?
Yeah. Just a clarification, though. There were a few comments. Are we going to make this motion as amended or as...
I think the motion would be inclusive of ensuring that the statute is, that the language in Section 4.2 is correlated correctly with the statute, and perhaps, I mean, that's the only thing that's really, you know, technically required. The other thing is whether it's sort of clarifying how the word dwelling is being used for the only two comments.
Hey, Jeff, this is Mark. Hey, also, staff, I will take care of those, so if you can add that staff will make sure that those are addressed. So we can finalize the report.
Okay. So then we can modify the motion to accept the report with the understanding that that Mo will work with Jennifer to address the issues that were raised during a committee comment, essentially regarding Section 4.2 correlating the statute and sort of clarifying dwelling. Sergio and Vince, would you accept that as part of the motion?
Yes, that's acceptable.
Right,
yes.
So, yeah. Okay.
Good. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you. Jeff?
Yes, sir. I don't believe there's any other committee business, but I'll check with Mo and Tom.
I'm good. No problem.
Okay. Tom, everything from your side? Okay. All right. Well, is there any general public comment or work group member, I'm sorry, committee member comment? All right. Any staff comment? Mr. Chairman, I think we're ready for you to adjourn the meeting.
Okay. Thank you, everyone, for participation. And with no further business and no further discussion, this meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, everybody. Happy holidays.
This conference will no longer be.